of this passage, Luke 17 and verses 5 to 6. We read, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings on the reading, the proclamation of God's holy word. Oh, and I am always so glad to see you. Glad you're here with us today. Will you please lead us in prayer? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we looked at this text, we looked at these verses, the apostles said to the Lord, it's almost as they are demanding of him, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, you better do this. Lord, if you don't do this, we're in for it. Lord, if you don't do this, you can do all things, so you got to do this. You must increase our faith. Well, a couple of questions come to mind, and one is this. Why was it that the disciples insisted that Christ increased their faith? Well, the answer is pretty obvious if we put this text into context. So look at the text. Go back to verse 1. He, Jesus, said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. He's speaking of sin. Sin's going to come our way. Temptation's going to come our way. But be ready for those storms and be ready for those temptations. But temptation's going to come our way. But don't you be the one by which it comes, right? Don't you be the method that Satan uses to tempt someone else into sin. Be very careful when you are dealing with other people. And when he says these little ones, he could be referring to children, but most likely he is referring to the ones who are new in their faith, are growing in their faith. So do everything that you possibly can to help them to be increasing rather than decreasing, learning more and growing in who they are in Christ Jesus rather than causing them to stumble. And Jesus is always, you've heard me say this one time, no, you've heard me say it a million times. Jesus is always using things around him to teach spiritual truths. And if you go to Capernaum, today you're going to see that it was a city that did a lot of oil pressing. And so they had millstones all around the city. They're still there today. And Jesus uses the exaggeration. It would be better if you just took one of those stones and tied it around somebody's neck and threw them into the sea, threw them into the deepest part of the Sea of Galilee and let them be, than to use their being to cause one of these others to stumble. So it's pretty serious consequences. It's pretty serious stuff. It's heavy material the Lord's telling us to do. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Be careful how you act, because somebody is always watching you. And as he's saying this, I can just imagine the disciples going, oh, you know, when Jesus is speaking these words, they are gasping. Did the Lord really say that it's better for this person that is causing someone to stumble to be thrown in the sea with a millstone around their neck? Did he really say that? And then go on in verse 3. It says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And that's pretty hard, isn't it? To rebuke someone who is in sin. A lot of times today, we just let things go because we don't want to deal with the fact of helping someone else. Listen, to help someone out who is in sin, to help someone out who is fallen, is tough stuff, is it not? Think about the good Samaritan who's walking along the way, and Jesus makes it a point that all the likely ones passed on by. But this one man, the Samaritan, makes it a point to get down in the ditch and to get dirty. Because if you're getting down there with the person who has fallen, who has been robbed, who is bleeding, who is bloody, you're going to get some of that on you as well. Not only that, it's dirty business because he is investing not only his own time, but he is investing his resources to take care of this man. So again, I believe the disciples are gasping at this. Lord, you want us to get caught up in somebody else's business? Lord, you want us to get caught up in what they're doing? Lord, you want us to rebuke them and let them see the error of their ways in hopes that they may come out of that way and follow you again? Lord, that's tough stuff. And then look at verse 4. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. Now, this is where the disciples are really gasping. This is where all of us should be gasping. Because if someone does something against us, if they sin against us, it's okay to forgive them once or twice. But you got three chances because I'm an American. And you get three strikes and you are out. Amen? And so the disciples, they're just gasping at this. Lord, you want us to forgive someone over and over and over, repeatedly forgive them? It's in that context of the impossible that the disciples says, Lord, you better do something. If you're putting this on us, you better increase our faith. If you're requiring us to do this impossible, this thing that's absolutely absurd, this thing that's abnormal in the human flesh, you had better do something about it. You must increase our faith. Now, Jesus has an interesting reply here. He says, but listen, he says, if you just had faith like a mustard seed, if you just had faith as a mustard seed, and we talk about the mustard seed quite often. Many of you have mustard seeds in your kitchen cabinet. Many of you have taken that mustard seed and you have shown it to little children. It says, this is what Jesus says. If you have as much faith as this, then you have good. But that's not what the scripture says right here. It says not as you have this much faith. It says if you have faith like this. Why does he say like this? Because faith like a mustard seed is powerful. Why? Because you take that little bitty tiny seed and you place it in the ground and you add a little water. That seed has life in it. And that seed sprouts. And if there is a rock on top of it, it will find a way around the rock and it will continue on to grow and to be the plant that God has intended it to be. Faith in you is the seed, and faith in you is life, and faith in you is powerful. What is faith? Faith is the focus on who God is. We know our scriptures. We know the Bible. Many of you put to memory Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. Many of you have memorized Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you and I can see that faith is the focus, complete reliance on the power, the awesome authority of who God is, that he is going to accomplish what he said he would do. He will bring it to completion. He will do. He will keep his word. Our God is awesome. I said we're living in some wonderful times, are we not? Because prophecies are being fulfilled all around our eyes, all around our times in this day. And I've shared with you that many religions, no religion has, in fact, what our religion has. No religion has prophecies that are being fulfilled and have been fulfilled. And so, brothers and sisters, may I present to you that faith in God is the only thing to have, because he is the only one that can accomplish great things. He is the only God. He is the only true one of heaven. He is the creator of all things. And as we focus on Him, we're amazed at what He can do. And our faith is strengthened when we focus on the author and the perfecter of our faith, right? It's not our faith that accomplishes it. It's the one who gives us the faith that accomplishes great things. He is an awesome, mighty, holy God. And so our faith is important. J. Judson Taylor says, not a great faith we need, but faith in a great God. Isn't that a truth? And so when the disciples says, Lord, increase our faith, they were really amiss in what they were asking. Lord, I don't need more of it. I just need better what I got. Lord, I don't need more faith. I just need that faith to work as it should, to rely completely, totally on You. C.H. Spurgeon says, faith is the Samsonian, speaking of Samson, remember him? Faith is the Samsonian lock of the Christian. Cut it off, and you may put out his eyes, and he can do nothing. So what Satan wants us to do is not to have faith in God. Because faith in God is as the mustard seed. It has life. Amen? And it accomplishes great, marvelous, wonderful things. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn, many as a matter of fact, and one of them that he wrote has this verse, this phrase in it, faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to that alone, laughs at life's impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. Maybe you like stories, so what about this story? A couple of weeks ago, I was bush hogging my front pasture. One of the things I enjoy most in life is bush hogging. Why? Because the loud tractor just roars in my ears and is ruining my hearing, but I don't care because I love being on a tractor. And this is why I like being on a tractor. You've got this field that is covered in weeds, and as you run over it with a tractor and a bush hog behind it, it annihilates it. So you see results fast. I love that about bush hogging. And cutting grass, you see results quickly. You're with me here. You know what I'm talking about. We have a member of our church back there. I won't mention any names, Greg Casey, but he's always saying your pastor is impatient. Well, maybe I am. But bush hogging is for the impatient because immediate results take place. And it's wonderful work that is done. And you see the weed in front of you, and then you look back and it's obliterated everywhere. I love it. And I have summer cedars all over the place, and I love cutting those down and obliterating them so that they do not have seeds like the mustard plant, and they will not multiply and will not reproduce in my field. I love to bush hog. Well, I was on the bush hog a couple of weeks ago, and as I'm having a great time, as I have shorts on and a T-shirt because that's what farmers wear, I'm going along, and I'm being sprayed by water, and water is hitting me. And I say, oh, my goodness, something is wrong. And I say, man, the radiator must be busted. And about that time, I start smelling something that starts like smoke. Now, I have a wonderful tractor. It's a 1965 Massey Ferguson. It was my grandpa's tractor, and I love this tractor. And the fact that I have it is wonderful. It accomplishes great things. It doesn't have a front-end loader or anything like that, but I can move boulders and do all kinds of wonderful things with my 1965 tractor. I know it's old because I have pictures of my sister as a baby when she was on the tractor. So it is an old, old machine. It's an old, old piece of equipment. So when I have this water and I'm starting to smell stuff, I immediately shut it down. Say, I can't ruin my grandfather's tractor. I've got to shut it down before I do further damage. Well, you guys know I can barely preach, but I certainly am not a mechanic, right? So I call my dad. I'm spoiled. And I call him and I just hint. I say, Dad, my tractor, your tractor, your dad's tractor, it's not really working well right now. What's wrong with it, son? Well, I'm getting sprayed when I'm on it with all kinds of rusty-looking water. And so it must be the radiator. He says, I'll be right down. And I'm thinking, that's exactly what I thought. And he comes down and he and Jonathan start working. They take the front end all apart on the tractor. They start looking everywhere on the tractor. And he's always fussing about this power steering. I said, yes, the power steering doesn't work, but I'm strong. I can take care of it. I can handle it. And I can make that tractor go where I want it to go. He says, well, while we're in here, let's fix the power steering. And so he takes apart the cylinder on the front of the tractor that takes care of the power and the steering. And as he's digging around in that cylinder, he finds an O-ring. What's an O-ring? I have no idea. But it's a little piece of rubbery-looking stuff. And he pulls it out, and he says, "Brian, this is your problem. Teeny tiny little O-ring that looked like somebody had taken it out, put it on an anvil, and smashed it with a hammer and put it back in the tractor." And he explains to me, he says, "Brian, see what has taken place." I really knew this, but I humored him. He says, I had no clue what he was talking about. He said, "Brian, what's taking place is this O-ring is allowing the power steering fluid to leak. And the power steering fluid is getting all over your radiator. And now your radiator is collecting dust and it's sticking to it. So now it's not able to move air through, and now it's starting to boil and boil for you Northerners. And it's boiling to the fact that it's boiling over and it's not cooling your engine." He says, "If we just replace this teeny tiny little O-ring, it will fix not only your power steering, but it will completely fix this problem with your radiator." And he took the radiator off and he cleaned it, he washed it, he put it all back together, put it back on. And brothers and sisters, I had a day in heaven mowing the rest of my field. And I'm so grateful for that. But all that to say, that little bitty O-ring caused so many problems. I didn't need a bigger O-ring. I just needed an O-ring that worked. I didn't need to increase my O-ring experience. I just needed one that worked. And so the disciples were amiss when they said, "Lord, increase our faith." He says, "You don't need to increase your faith. You just need what you have to work. And it works when you put your focus and your fix on the God who can, and you don't give up." That little bitty O-ring shut my whole tractor down. Your little amount of faith may be in your life shutting your whole work in ministry down. Because you look at what God has called you to do and you say, "God, that's impossible. Lord, that's crazy." You may be saying, "Lord, that's abnormal." And yet God has called you to do it. Amen. So may your faith not be as little or much as a mustard seed. May your faith be like the mustard seed. That in all obstacles, it either grows through it or it grows around it. So some of you are wanting to give up, say, "Lord, I can't do that. I can't teach Sunday school anymore. I believe you called me to do it. The church is confirming it, but I can't do it anymore. Lord, I cannot do it." You don't need more faith. You just need good faith that'll grow through anything. "Lord, I'm 68 years old. Woohoo! Lord, I can't go and share and sing for you. It's impossible." You don't need more faith. You just need the right faith that focuses in on God, the God who makes impossible things happen. And so the Lord is not saying something magical is going to take place, that if you just focus on that mulberry tree, magically through my spirit, I will pluck it out of the ground and I will plant it in the sea. No, he's not saying that. He's saying if you will focus on me and have faith in me and in the end results that I'm going to bring, you're going to work like you've never worked before. And along with me and my spirit and you and your tenacity, we are going to accomplish great things. Amen? Brothers and sisters, sometimes we look at our church and we say, "Lord, there's no young people in our church. It's impossible to get 20 and 30-year-olds in our church. It's impossible to get them in Sunday school." With God, all things are possible. Now we can pray all we want, and God honors prayer. God's in prayer. God can do whatever he wants to because he's God. But God's probably not going to magically make 20 and 30-year-olds appear in our church. Amen. He just doesn't work that way. He could if he wanted to. But historically,
God doesn't work that way. But God can take a bunch of 40 and 50 year olds like most of y'all are, and He can take you, and as you focus on Him, He can use you to reach 20 and 30 year olds and bring them to our church and get them involved in ministry, and our church will grow. Well, Pastor, that takes a lot of work. That's exactly what the disciples said. Lord, to forgive people like you're talking about, that's going to take a lot of work. Lord, to rebuke people like you're talking about, that is going to take a lot of work. Lord, increase our faith. No, don't increase it. Lord, make our faith right, where it focuses on you. That little bitty mustard seed has something in it. Autumn explained this to us later. I don't know. But it's got something in it that's focused on the Son. And so the little mustard seed takes a little bit of the ingredients in the dirt, a little bit of the moisture that's provided for it, and it just bursts open and it reaches for the Son. It's a miracle in itself, right? But it does it through focusing on the Son. Brothers and sisters, you got a little faith in you. Let it focus on the Son of God. The Son, Jesus Christ. The impossible work, and bust through those rocks. Go around them. Move those mountains. Pluck your mulberry trees up out of your ground and throw them in the depths of the sea. Do the impossible. God is still in the work of growing Christians. God's still in the work of saving souls. God's still in the work of doing great things. And if others can do it through God, we can too. Amen? So, Lord, don't increase our faith. Lord, help us to have the right faith to accomplish the work that you want us to do. This morning, let me just reiterate this. Some of you are wanting to shut down. Some of you just want to take it down to the barn and put it under the shed and forget about it. You want to throw in the towel. Don't you do it. God's not done with you yet. God's not done with our church yet. And the God who is the God of impossibilities is the God of Lime Branch Baptist Church. And He can do a miracle and a work through us. But we've got to be willing to join Him in His work and what He's doing. Father God, we pray today thanking you for your mercy, your